Do not adjust your speakers. This is a special edition of the Sound Off here at SCScoops.com, episode 75, for Tuesday, July 7th, 2009. And I've got a couple of things to sound off on. Well, let's be honest here. I've got one thing to sound off on, really, and it's not really wrestling related, but it's worth, I think, mentioning a couple of things, and that is the Michael Jackson coverage here in the States. Of course, today was the big memorial for Michael Jackson in Los Angeles. They trotted his casket out to the Staples Center in Los Angeles. They had a guest list a mile long. Thousands and thousands of fans who were selected in a lottery were able to come to the Staples Center and be a part of history as the life and times of Michael Jackson were celebrated for all the world to see. Now, here's my thoughts on this, and the reason I'm talking about it, and I've said before that I wouldn't talk about it again, but this is the Sound Off. And every now and then there's going to be a subject, wrestling or otherwise, that I feel the need to sound off on, and this is one of them. On the Twitter page that I maintain, twitter.com/Solomonster and other websites, personal websites that I maintain, you know, I posted my thoughts on this just like everybody else has. And one of the things that really bothered me was the coverage, not just of the memorial service this afternoon, but of the coverage of the Michael Jackson death in general. It has been nothing short of abominable. You know, Michael Jackson is one of the most popular performers in the history, probably of the world. I mean, he really was a global entity. And it's understandable that when a person like that passes away at a young age, at the age of 50, and under dubious circumstances, that it's going to be a major story. I understand that. It's a big boon to the gossip and tabloid websites like the TMZ.coms of the world, the OK Magazine, People Magazines of the world, and all that stuff. I get that. Probably a big ratings grab, drives a lot of web traffic, and you knew that the first couple of days were going to be all Michael Jackson all the time. I don't think what I was prepared for, quite frankly, was that every single TV show and every single radio program would be dedicated solely to nothing but Michael Jackson 24/7. The memorial service today was carried by pretty much all of the major networks, I believe, except possibly CBS, and I'll have to check on that here in the U.S., because if that's the case, I'll have to send a letter of thanks to the folks at CBS. You would think that, you know, God forbid it was President Obama who was assassinated, some head of state that we were somehow memorializing. And it just strikes me that, at least here in this country, we must really have our priorities out of whack. Because no matter how talented a performer Michael Jackson may have been, and no matter how much good he may have brought to the world or charities he may have donated to, the fact of the matter is that Michael Jackson was far from a saint. He was far from an angel. Nobody is. But here's a guy who had several accusations levied against him over the years, going back a good, 14, 15 years of erratic behavior involving little boys. Accusations that he was a pedophile. Accusations that he molested small children. Now, granted, he was never convicted in a court of law of these charges. But there's an old expression that where there's smoke, there's fire. If it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck, you can probably bet your ass that it's a duck. And I'm smart enough and old enough and mature enough, despite what some of you may think, to draw my own conclusions from this and not keep my head in the clouds. And in my personal opinion, without having the proverbial smoking gun, Michael Jackson hanging around little kids, to me, is a little creepy. Maybe he didn't touch them. Maybe he didn't fondle or molest or physically touch any little boys. Maybe he did, but maybe he didn't. Even if he didn't, there is something creepy to me about a man in his 40s with all the money in the world who hangs around with little kids and has little kids in his bed. Something, mind you, that he admitted multiple times, including in a TV interview a couple of years ago with Martin Bashir, who now is an anchor for Nightline on ABC. This is something that he admitted to. And I can't be the only one who finds that a little creepy. Now, doesn't mean he did anything wrong, but I don't think that's something to be celebrated. Because let's be honest, Michael Jackson has not been relevant in well over a decade. probably a lot longer than that. You can probably say he hasn't been relevant for close to 15 years. The last big hit song he had was Black and White, which was a song from 1993. All the music you hear on the radio here stateside now, it's Thriller, which was from his album in 82. Beat It, Bad, Man in the Mirror. And honestly, after that, I have trouble naming very many of his songs. I was a big fan and still am a big fan of Michael Jackson's music. Thriller and Beat It are classic songs. I remember when I was a little kid in my aunt's apartment in Brooklyn. She had a 45, and she had tapes for Beat It and Thriller, and I would dance to the music. I am still a fan of Michael Jackson's early music, back when he was relevant. The fact is, Michael Jackson has not been relevant in a long, long time. But seemingly overnight, everyone went from perhaps not being a Michael Jackson fan or not caring enough to call themselves a Michael Jackson fan to going on the MJ bandwagon, like he's some kind of deity or god. He's not. He's human just like you and me, and he did some pretty creepy shit. Let's be honest. Now, you'll have people out there who say, well, you know, it's not his fault. It's the way he was raised. His father was abusive. Mind you, I don't know that there's ever been any evidence of this. This is Michael's word against his father's. But let's just say that his father, Joe Jackson, is an asshole. Let's say that his father was verbally and physically abusive to Michael as a kid. I believe he was. And I believe that had a lot to do with Michael being very insecure about the way he looked, about his nose, having the plastic surgeries, even though he always denied having plastic surgery. But again, it's one of those things where, even though we don't have any proof, I'm smart enough as an adult to draw my own conclusions and say, yeah, Michael Jackson had a little bit of work done over the years. Even if all of that is true, Michael Jackson was an adult who made rational decisions for himself, or irrational decisions, but he knew the difference between right and wrong. He allowed himself to be roped into a situation where he would hang out with little boys, and he knew that it would open him up for accusations. Rightly or wrongly, he put himself in that position. It wasn't his father's fault, it wasn't anybody's fault, but his own. It is the life he chose to lead. And the fact is that, yeah, you know what? When the first accusations came out in 1993, and he paid off the family for many millions of dollars, what the exact figure was, nobody knows for sure. It's reported to be over $20 million, whatever it was. You can make the argument, and this is the argument that Michael himself made, that, you know, it was on the advice of his lawyers, and he just wanted it to be over. He wanted to pay these people off and be done with it. The fact is that he's likely, based on what I've heard, paid off many other families as well, not just that one. And the fact is, I could see where he wanted to pay off the first family and kind of be done with it. You know, these are not accusations that you want to have follow you around for your entire life. But there's a pattern of behavior here. And when you pay people off to get them off your back, you know, after a while, you start to ask yourself, you know, if that's me, after a while, I stop paying people off and I start defending myself. And it's not something that Jackson ever really bothered doing. You know, he'd come out and say, well, this is false. I didn't do it. They're lying, and that was pretty much the extent of it. And then he would go and pay off somebody else. And then the accusations came out in 05. And I agree, there were probably plenty of people that had it out for this guy who thought he was a freak, who thought he was weird, and they probably got off on the idea of him going to jail. And that's wrong. But the fact is, personally, I believe, again, where there's smoke, there's fire. Maybe he should have gone to jail in 05. He didn't. But the fact remains, everybody just seems to be glossing over these facts. The fact that he was a drug addict, for crying out loud. The guy had a pharmacy in his own home, which, mind you, included drugs that were likely illegal and he had no right to have in the first place. In fact, the drug that killed him may well have been something that he had no business having in his possession in the first place. A drug that is often administered in hospitals, an anesthetic prior to surgery. It's not something that you pick up over the counter. And supposedly there were people who told him, you can't do this, you can't have it, we're not going to give it to you. And apparently he got it anyway. He knew what he was doing. Now, what kind of pain he would have been in that would have necessitated him constantly being on all these painkillers and drugs is beyond me. It wasn't like he was a professional wrestler, I'll tell you that much, and plenty of wrestlers get by without having to take some of the drugs that Michael Jackson was supposedly taking. Whatever his reasoning was, whatever, you know, maybe he was suffering, I sympathize if that's the case. It's a shame and a pity that he had to go through all that. You know, supposedly his painkiller addiction kicked in after the 1984 incident where he got his hair burned filming a Pepsi commercial. Boo-hoo. Shit happens. People get hurt all the time. And there are plenty of people in this country and in the world who get addicted to painkillers and drugs. Some go to rehab, some don't. Do we celebrate the people who abuse prescription drugs? Do we celebrate the people who take painkillers? No. We demonize them. Look at what's going on in professional sports today with Major League Baseball, with professional wrestling, for crying out loud. You'd think that Vince McMahon was the devil himself. We like to demonize people who have problems like that, but somehow Michael Jackson gets to skate by because he was a good dancer and a good singer. So therefore, it makes it okay. No, it doesn't make it okay. The guy hung out with little kids. That's creepy. The guy was a drug addict. That's not something to celebrate. I sympathize with his background. I sympathize with the way he was raised and the fact that he felt like he could never really be himself. Like the world was against him. Probably couldn't trust anybody. I'm sure he had an inner circle of people that were enablers, gave him what he wanted, told him what he wanted to hear. It's a shame. There's probably a lot of guilty parties involved here. But when I put on every single channel, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, all the cable stations, CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, 1010 Wins on the radio, I go to all the different websites and everything is Michael Jackson all the time. And I think of all the people out there who probably deserve this type of coverage. I'm not even sure, quite frankly, that anybody does. Short of the president being assassinated, God forbid. You would think that's what happened. The coverage is over the top, it's ridiculous, it's abominable. He doesn't deserve this type of coverage. Regardless of the type of performer you may think he was, it's ridiculous to see the type of coverage that this man has been afforded over the last couple of days. Today especially. And it's only going to get worse. It's not going to go away. Because we're going to find out what killed him, who's responsible, who gets what from the will. It's only going to get worse. The people I feel sorry for are the kids. That's who I feel sorry for, because it's not their fault that their father is no longer around. They didn't choose this life. And they seem to love their father very much. And I sympathize with them. I'm not concerned about the Jackson family. Jermaine Jackson, Tito Jackson, Joe Jackson. I could give a shit about them. I'm sorry, they lost a brother, they lost a son. That sucks. But you know what? They're going to get by just fine. They'll get over it. They have their own families. They have their own children. It's Michael Jackson's kids that I feel sorry for. And the circus that's going to ensue. I don't envy the position that they're in. They're the ones I have sympathy for. Not Michael Jackson, not the Jackson 5, not Debbie Rowe, or any of these people. But to all these people who you know, have written into me and have left comments saying, well, Solomonster, you're so tasteless, Solomonster, you're so heartless, and how could you say such a thing? It's called common sense. Wake up. Stop being ignorant. You know, there's two great examples here, and by no means am I accusing, you know, anything that Michael Jackson has done as being, you know, as bad as murder. But to use a wrestling example, Chris Benoit, I think, is a great example. Chris Benoit is an example of a guy who will go down or would have gone down. Arguably is one of the greatest in-ring performers of this or any generation. A tremendous, tremendous in-ring performer. Perhaps the best at his craft and his trade, much like Michael Jackson. Former world heavyweight champion, main event at a WrestleMania. And then on that fateful day in 2007, he was found dead at home with his wife and young son. And as we found out, he murdered his wife, murdered his son, and in cowardly fashion, took his own life. It's just too bad he took two lives before he took his own. Now, will I ever be able to watch a Chris Benoit match the same way again? Never. Will I remember Chris Benoit as being a great wrestler? Sure. I can't forget all the great matches that he had over his 20-plus year career. Just like Michael Jackson will always be known as a great performer and a great entertainer. He'll be known for the moonwalk. He'll be known for the Thriller video. But much like Chris Benoit, I can't separate the latter part of his life from the early part of his life. You take the whole package. You can't ignore certain parts of a person's life. Chris Benoit murdered his wife and son. He'll burn in hell for that, if you believe in hell and that sort of thing. You can't ignore that. What he did is inexcusable. And just because he was a great wrestler does not excuse his behavior later in life. It's a shame that over that one weekend of his life, it marred an entire career, an entire legacy. But it did. Roman Polanski, a very talented director, has made a couple of movies that were tremendous. Even I'm a fan of. The fact is, you cannot excuse the fact or forget the fact or ignore the fact that Roman Polanski raped an underage girl back in the 70s and ran off to avoid extradition to this country so he couldn't be prosecuted. He raped a young girl and got away with it. He is a coward. You can't ignore that just because he made a couple of good movies. Just because Michael Jackson had a couple of hit songs and was a tremendous dancer does not excuse his behavior over the last several years. And the thing is, back during his trial in 2005, you didn't see this level of outpouring of support. You know, Jackson's always had his fans. But my God, you didn't have people from all over the world coming forward in support of Michael Jackson. Most people, dare I say, if you would have polled them back in 2005, probably would have said, you know what, this guy's a little freaky. And he probably did it. But people seem to forget that. It's ridiculous. And people need to get their head out of the sand and start thinking with their brain and not their heart. So in closing, Michael Jackson is dead. Let him rest in peace. Let him be buried. And let life go on. There's more important news in the world that we need to know about instead of knowing what killed Michael Jackson. Because quite frankly, I don't give a shit. Now, a quick wrestling update for you here before I wrap up this abbreviated sound off. Edge underwent surgery today in Birmingham, Alabama, with Dr. Jim Andrews, who's operated on a ton of superstars and really a ton of athletes from all over the sports world. So I think Edge was in good hands to repair a torn Achilles tendon in his left ankle, which he injured, I believe, on Friday night at a house show about a minute into a match against Jeff Hardy. Which is a shame because, again, I was looking forward, as many of you were, to Edge and Jericho as the Unified Tag Team Champions appearing on both Raw and SmackDown. Now it appears that will not happen. Edge is going to be sidelined for a number of months. We don't yet know exactly how long, but I think it's safe to say we will likely not be seeing him in action again until the very end of the year, and more likely early 2010, with the hope being that he can make it back before WrestleMania 26. In the meantime, what happens with Chris Jericho and the Unified Tag Team belts, no one really seems to know. There is an idea on the table to replace Edge with Dolph Ziggler, kind of plug him into Edge's spot and have him fill the void and team with Jericho to defend the belt against Legacy at Night of Champions. I don't know if that will happen. I personally would be more of a fan of The Miz being in that role. Miz was noticeably absent from Raw this past Monday night. But Ziggler may get that spot. It's not confirmed yet, and hopefully they don't hear people talking about this and change their minds. I think, you know, Ziggler's one of these guys like Swagger and DiBiase Jr. who's on their list of guys to watch out for who are going to be big stars in the next couple of years. And so he may be filling the Edge slot. But just, you know, a shitty situation all around with Edge being out for a while and Jeff Hardy, his status being unknown, he's still planning on leaving at the end of the month. You know, you wonder if WWE will get on their hands and knees and beg him to stay in light of not only Edge being injured, but Matt Hardy being on the sideline for the next 8 to 10 weeks following abdominal surgery. So a lot of injury news and a lot of question marks right now that I assume will be answered in the next couple of weeks as the crew comes back to the States and Raw will be back live next Monday in Orlando. So we'll find out more then. Of course, for those of you who didn't listen to Sound Off 74 yet, which I recorded this past weekend, there will be no new podcast this weekend as I will be away. But I will be back with another episode, which I guess now will be number 76, the following weekend. In the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/Solomonster. You can leave hate mail or positive comments for me at thesolomonster@gmail.com. And, of course, as always, you can get the sound off on iTunes. So that's going to do it for this special sound off rant, episode 75. Until next time, be well, stay safe, and as for me, I'm off right now to go listen to my We Are the World album. See you next week.
You've been listening to The Sama Monster.
You know, I really just don't understand what they're doing.
Anybody agree with me out there?
I mean, anybody. Come on, throw me a bone here.
Probably the single dumbest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
God, I love this business.
On SE Scoops.